The U.S. military has given up trying to deliver aid to Myanmar today. Four American Navy ships full of relief equipment and supplies for the victim of Cyclone Nargis turned around and left the country, also known as Burma. The United Nations estimate that the cyclone killed 78,000 people and left 56,000 missing. Some 2.4 million people are still badly in need of food, shelter, or medical care. The American retreat comes after 3 weeks and a reported 15 attempts by the U.S. to convince the military junta running the country to accept help. Reportedly, among the relief supplies on the boats were 22 heavy-lift helicopters, amphibious vehicles, and water purification equipment.
But as the American ships have pulled away, the contents of a French aid ship are being unloaded. A press officer with the UN's World Food Program told NPR this morning that aid from a French naval ship that was also not allowed to dock is coming to Yangon a different way. Hundreds of tons of food and other supplies were moved from the French boat, the SS Mistral, and put on a UN chartered ship called the SS Claudia. I spoke with the president of the American aid organization World Vision, named Dean Hirsch. He's on the ground in Yangon. I talked to him earlier this morning, and he said that aid was being unloaded at a ceremony at a major port in Myanmar.
Right at this moment, there is a ceremony going on at the port with the French relief goods being unloaded and are going to be immediately distributed. I think it's part of a global politics myself. And I would hope that some way, through all of us, we could find a way for those goods from America to be unloaded in some port that's neutral and get those in here, because the people need those goods from America immediately.
Dean, can you explain specifically what the value is of those helicopters in particular?
Well, there's regions, the Delta region, that whole area, right now, the majority of it's still underwater due to the cyclone and the monsoons. I was in the monsoons yesterday, and they've started. That means heavy, heavy rains, and tides have risen, and so the land is flooded already, and you cannot necessarily get around by road, and it's difficult to get around by boat, and so helicopters are needed. But I would say, too, that the UN has helicopters, too, so I don't think this is an issue. The UN has 9 helicopters, and those helicopters are not flying either. So the reality is that when that happens, I don't think it's exclusively aimed at the United States. I think it's a matter of helping the government here to understand that helicopters are very good for humanitarian reasons and can provide assistance, not only for taking a survey, but also for delivering relief supplies. As I was out there, and I have just returned in the last few hours, I saw a total devastation from the cyclone that came through with tremendous winds that not only uprooted trees, but destroyed every house and village that was in evidence. And in addition to this, heard reports of people, many people drowned because the waters rose by 15 feet, and many people were in waist-deep water for hours all night long and told of their stories. We also saw fact that people are now trying in a very diligent manner to rebuild and start coming back to a livelihood with homes and talking to World Vision about the needs that they have.
Dean, have you spoken to just regular folks, survivors of the cyclone, about their opinions of how the aid effort has been handled by the government there?
Well, when you look at total landmass, it'd be interesting. The total landmass could be bigger than the total tsunami when you look at the whole landmass that's been impacted.
The Asian tsunami in 2004.
When you think of that, no one government can be expected to hit every dimension of this. In fact, 35 square kilometers of land have been impacted by this terrible storm. So when I talked to the people yesterday, they were very thankful for the NGOs such as Save the Children, CARE, and World Vision, because the government assigned us to that area. So the government, I would say, is being proactive in looking at the areas of the country and assigning responsibly credible NGOs to be the response mechanism.
It just took a while.
The key issue is now is to respond to those areas that have been identified and also to complete the surveys of where additional help is needed by people.
Lastly, Dean, the rice season, much has been made of the fact that the Irrawaddy Delta was hit so hard. This is, of course, the breadbasket, or rather the rice basket. This is a place where the primary agricultural product, rice, is cultivated. How is that going to affect food supplies out of Myanmar now that that delta has been so hard
hit? Well, I just finished a meeting with the World Food Program literally an hour ago, and they have food stocks to get us through August, and that's very good news. In addition, every agency, including the government, are partnering together to immediately get seeds and either get draft animals or the tractors out to the people. I talked to many farmers yesterday. They're ready to plant, and June 15th is a critical date. They need to know that seeds are going to be available and that they're going to have capacity to work these fields. I can tell you 24 hours a day, efforts are being made now so that these people can plant the land. Will they get 100% harvest? Obviously not. But they're going to get some type of harvest, and I'm sure with the World Food Program and the NGOs, we're going to be able to work together to make sure that the food deficit is minimal.
Dean Hirsch is the president of World Vision International. I know you're very busy there on the ground in Yangon organizing your aid efforts. Dean, thanks so much for being here today. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Pretty difficult to confirm some of that information this morning. We told you that as those American ships were retreating with their aid, the French cargo, some aid was being unloaded onto a UN ship being delivered to Myanmar. Difficult to confirm in part because reporters have been really kept out of Myanmar. It's a notoriously strict regime, mm-hmm. and many reporters, including NPR's reporters, are having a hard time. We're stationing themselves in Bangkok, and we did have one correspondent get in there, but he had to do all his reporting anonymously. It's been a really hard story to cover.
Confirm it?
We did. Well, you do what you do. You call the UN and you call the folks involved. But
good hustle out of producer Laura Silver for assisting with that. And coming up, we'll be talking about the largest manhunt in World War II history. The name of the book is called Now the Hell Will Start. And the manhunt occurred in Burma. And as you know, Burma is what we used to call Myanmar and what some news organizations still do call Myanmar. The Washington Post, well, the government in Washington, the Bush administration, calls it Burma. And the Washington Post still uses Burma in headlines. But the AP uses Myanmar because the issue there is that the government, which was not duly elected, kind of changed the name without asking anyone. And so the point is that it hasn't been confirmed. So there's a debate in newsrooms a little bit, Burma or Myanmar, most err on the side of just calling it what the government calls it. So then it was Myanmar. Our discussion coming up, it will be Burma. And this is the BPP, as known by everyone from NPR News.